It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A lack of mental health care assistance throughout the U.S. and the state is leading communities to explore mental health first aid.
Pretty much everyone I know struggles with, like, you know, mental health in some aspect. Having more stuff like this puts more tools in my toolbox.
We'll hear more about that in just a moment. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Five states filed suit yesterday against opioid manufacturer Purdue Pharma and its former chief executive. The suits allege the company used unlawful marketing tactics that fueled a scourge of opioid addiction and related deaths. Dave Mistich reports.
Iowa, Kansas, Maryland, Wisconsin, and West Virginia are each pursuing individual lawsuits against Purdue Pharma and Dr. Richard Sackler, who serves on the drug company's board. West Virginia Attorney General Patrick Morrissey says Purdue trained new marketing employees with the advertising motto, quote, "We sell hope in a bottle."
Enough is enough. The opioid epidemic knows no boundaries, but our states will not go down quietly.
Officials from Purdue deny the allegations and say that states cannot link the harm of opioids to the company. West Virginia has sued Purdue Pharma over OxyContin before and won. Dozens of states currently have similar suits pending. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is working to clean up a former mining equipment operation in Fayette County known as the Schaefer Site. The agency announced this week they have added Minden to its national priorities list of Superfund sites and hosted a community conversation around their next steps. Roxy Todd was there and has this report.
In Minden, West Virginia, officials with the EPA are here to talk with community members about what's next. Stepan Nefshahurlian is the EPA's project manager for the cleanup of the site.
What is the timeline now that the Schaefer site has been placed on the priority list?
So we've started planning and scoping our remedial investigation, which will kind of include conducting additional sampling and testing to kind of fully define any remaining contamination where it may be. And from there, we'll take additional samples. This summer is when we anticipate being out here. And, you know, once we collect that data, it'll determine what we do next.
Is relocation for any of the residents on the table?
To date, we've conducted a lot of sampling around residential properties, and we haven't seen any concentrations that would lead us to believe that relocation would be a likely alternative.
The people here have been dealing with PCB contamination and possible health impacts related to that contamination for many years. And so despite the EPA taking steps to remediate the problem, many are frustrated.
Named Daryl Thomas.
And resident of Minden all your life?
Yes, ma'am. It's a good thing we're on national priority list, but you know, just because I am, it's just nothing more than a Band-Aid. It always has been. It's just sad.
So what's next for Minden? We'll have to wait and see until the EPA returns later this summer. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd in Minden, West Virginia.
Democratic State Senator Stephen Baldwin has sponsored legislation aimed at helping Minden residents. He says the listing is a very positive step, but if relocation is off the table, the state should pick up the slack.
I think this is a good start, but it's a start. It's going to require significant follow-ups.
A bipartisan group of U.S. senators, including West Virginia Republican Shelley Moore Capito, have introduced two bills this week aimed at regulating a group of toxic chemicals known as PFAS. Brittany Patterson reports the chemicals used to make nonstick products and flame retardants have been found in some water systems in the Ohio Valley.
The PFAS group of chemicals, which include PFOA, or C8, have been detected in at least 10 water systems in Kentucky, Ohio, and West Virginia. Exposure has been linked to a number of health effects. The EPA has pledged to address the chemicals, but many lawmakers want more action. Capito and Democratic Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York introduced a bill that would mandate the EPA to set a legal limit for PFAS chemicals in drinking water within 2 years. In an interview, Capito said efforts to address PFAS contamination need to be more transparent and move more quickly.
EPA has said that they're moving in this direction, but nothing moves an agency quicker or faster than a bill or than a legislation that says you have to do this by date certain.
Another bill would improve the availability of information about the use and release of toxic fluorinated chemicals by adding many to a federal chemical database. A hearing in the Senate on these and related bills is set for next week. It follows a hearing this week in the House. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Brittany Patterson.
Most people are familiar with the idea of first aid, like what to do when dealing with a cut or scrape. But not everyone knows what to do with when their friend is showing signs of mental illness. There's a class dedicated to having a better mental health first aid response. One of these classes was recently held in the Northern Panhandle. Corey Nollinger has more.
And that is called Teen Mental Health First Aid, with the intention of teaching...
In a classroom on the West Virginia Northern Community College Wheeling campus, Greater Wheeling National Alliance on Mental Illness Executive Director Amy Gamble is giving a first aid class to residents and city officials. The first aid tips they're learning don't help with physical ailments, but mental.
But after an eight-hour course, the intention isn't to diagnose. The intention is to be able to recognize those signs and symptoms so that we can help people.
Mental health first aid started in 2001 in Australia and has been spreading through the U.S. for a little over 10 years now. The program demonstrates that even something as small as keeping up with people you know are struggling emotionally can make a significant impact. Wheeling police hostage negotiator and mental health first aid instructor Brian Hales recounts one of his first calls dealing with a schizophrenic man who had been off his medication for a little while.
First time I got called out was not successful. I watched a guy jump off a fifth floor balcony and live. Then a couple years later, I got called out for the same guy. In the time between the first incident and the second incident, after he got out of the hospital and was back home, I made a point to, if I saw him, just wave or, hey, how's it going? That little bit of rapport that I built with him by doing that the second time I got called out was able to convince him.
Hales explains that legal paperwork had already been filed, what's called a mental hygiene order. It allows authorities to hospitalize someone against their free will if they are demonstratively a threat to themselves or others.
I talked to him, gave him to come downstairs. I gave him my last cigarette that I had, and then we walked up to the hospital. It was within walking distance.
The backbone of the eight-hour course is algae. Not the aquatic plant, but a different algae, as Gamble points out.
We teach a five-step action plan called algae, which is assess for risk of suicide or harm, listen non-judgmentally, give reassurance and information, encourage appropriate professional help, and encourage self-help and other support strategies.
But before you can do any of that, you have to be able to identify mental illness.
Like, can't it just be somebody who doesn't show any outward symptoms?
It could be. Yeah,
that's why we could probably do.
Right now, class participants are drawing what they think anxiety looks like. Anxiety is the most common mental health issue in the country. Here's what course participant Carrie Bennett came up with.
His hair is all standing up, eyes are great big because he's overwhelmed, cheeks and even all the way down the neck are flushed because of embarrassment. Muscles are tense all through the shoulders and up through the neck, butterflies in the stomach, but also a little green around the mouth because he might throw up. He has, his feet are moving all the time because he feels like he just has to get out of here. And he's wearing these great big oversized comfy clothes to try to hide from other people and from the things that are stressing him out.
One of the goals of the program is to demystify mental illness in a way that makes it easier to recognize symptoms. Once you know the signs, it becomes easier to reach out and help. Marshall University student Isaac Bennett took the course so that he could be more helpful to his classmates.
Pretty much everyone I know struggles with, mental health in some aspect, especially my generation in college. We're all dealing with stuff, and with how hard college is and just the situation around, I want to be able to support my friends like that, because it's frustrating a lot of times because there's not a lot I can do, because I'll try and tell my friends, hey, go to counseling, or hey, I'll walk you to counseling or something, but that's a lot of the extent of where my help can go to them. So having more stuff like this puts more tools in my toolbox.
Most mental health issues manifest before the age of 24, according to the National Alliance on Mental Illness. The Alliance also notes that 1 in 5 people in the country has a mental illness. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Corey Nollinger in Wheeling.
If you see a need for a mental health first aid class in your community, you can contact Amy Gamble at namigreaterwheeling@gmail.com, or you can also learn more at wvpublic.org. This week's broadcast, Mountain Stage, once again welcomes special guest host Kathy Matea and includes an awe-inspiring set from New England quartet Darlene Side. Our song of the week is the band's harmony-rich performance of Hold Your Head Up High, recorded last month in Morgantown. That was Darlene Side performing Hold Your Head Up High live on Mountain Stage. To hear this and more, tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8 right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Kara Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, Eric Douglas, Corey Nollinger, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.